Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the... Yo, high five.
Hello, boys and girls. It's me, DDP, and tonight, who will be sitting in the Yoga Doc seat, will be my good buddy Henry, and I'll be bringing him on in a minute. And our YR Team YRG co-host will be in for his first time out here on the show. Will be Richard Wilson, and I want to give you guys a little bit of a backstory of this show. For starters, this show is taped, so it will not be live, and that is partially due to the fact that I thought I was away this Thursday, meaning I was going to be in Atlanta working with Yoga Doc at a place called 37 Main. So when you actually hear this show, I will be at 37 Main, but it's not this Thursday. It's next. Actually, it'll be the Thursday the 29th when you're actually hearing this. But this is 2 days before our last Thursday show that Stacey Morris was sitting in the Yoga Doc's chair. So that's confusing enough for you. So what I did was I got everybody together to do this show so we'd have a good show in the can, and then I realized, oh, I'm not off till next week. Well, I got everybody together, so I might as well do the show anyway, because it's an eternal question of, you know, how do we're going to start theming shows. And I asked Henry what he wanted to theme the show, and he came up with emotions and motivation and overcoming obstacles. So that'll be the theme of the show. But before we get into that, I'll bring on Henry and have him say his little bit here. I got to tell you, when I hear that music, you love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me, and hear the music of, you know, the Cell 5-5 song, sitting backstage, when that music would play and you could hear the crowd get crazy, and it was 22,000 people, you know what I mean, back in the day. The adrenaline that rushes through your body. And there are times where I walked out, as soon as that happened, it would clear away everything. It was like a magic switch that whatever was happening in my life, it got focused totally on where Diamond Dallas Page, the character, was at. But up till that moment, man, especially in the last days of WCW, there was a lot of times where I was really down. And believe it or not, you could be making $1 million+ and still hate life. You know, you look at this chick, Lindsay Lohan, right now, who's all over the news. By this time, she's actually in jail. How long, we don't know. But, man, once you walk into that joint, and I've been there one time, that was enough for me. Then you walk in and they close the door on you. I knew I was getting out because someone is going to come and bail me out. But when they lock that door, man, that's a funky feeling, man. You talk about emotional gravity. But my point is, when I was sitting back there backstage getting ready to walk through that curtain, you know, there were times where right 10 minutes before that music hit that I was playing, this place sucks, man. I hate it here. And really, I was pulling myself down with emotional gravity and all the bullshit that was happening around me. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I've got a great group of guys and gals. I think Stacey will be on here soon, too, to fill out all the testosterone will be in this room tonight. For starters, I want to bring on Mr. Testosterone. Henry, how do we say your last name, Henry? I don't want to mispronounce it.
It's Dembski.
Dembski, that's easy, Dembski. You know, but it's not like having to be later. That's named like Falkenberg. That was you can imagine what they did to me in school with that name. So, Henry, it's good to have you on as a host. We had you come on a couple weeks ago and get into sitting in the co-host chair. And now we're have you sitting in the Yoga Doc shot. How have you been this week, man?
Well, actually, the reason I suggested the topic to you is last week was a real bad one for me. And, Doug's become a good friend of mine. And, I shared a little bit with him. But I had literally, like, three or four really bad things happened to me. Physical with my back went out. I did get it adjusted, but the adjustment didn't hold, and I was in a lot of discomfort with the sacral iliac joints. I had a lot of discomfort doing my workouts, and one of my goals, if you remember the first show, was one of my dreams was to always own a racehorse, and I actually put a blog up about that, and I was part owner of a horse and literally waited 2 years. Well, all my life I wanted to become an owner. I finally got there. So the horse, for the first year, it's too small. We have to give it a year off. That was frustrating. Wait, pay. Then this year, it was just continual physical problems with her, a surgery on the throat, feet problems, back problems. The horse actually got acupuncture. And they finally come to the determination that she cannot race. And that was absolutely devastating to me. I literally waited two years I just want to see my horse race.
Right.
And I waited all this time, and it was just like somebody stabbed me or something. And then a couple things happened after that, work and it's just like one thing, and I went down to a not-so-good place real quick, despite the fact that I learned a lot of things through YRG, and, I was even, telling Doug, I was becoming a little sarcastic, and, even about living life at 90, I said, that's all fine, but it still sucks when it happens to you, this bad stuff, And then I start reading the blogs, and I'm noticing a lot of people, one person had a bad time, they're going to McDonald's. There was a gentleman just on the blogs tonight, how he found out he's going to be a father. He's having a hard time getting a job. He had a problem with drugs, and, another lady was on there, physical problems with breathing. And just noticing a common thing of a lot of people having problems with the emotional gravity and trying to get motivation and falling off the horse and, but I just thought it would be a good topic for you to really, hit upon.
Well, I think it always is because it's always pertinent to everyone's life. I don't think there's anybody on this phone listening who's listening to the show or on the panel that we're going to have those different people be on here tonight that doesn't go through it. I can tell you, I call them the walls that come up in front of you, I always look back to WCW, and I wanted it so bad. I mean, when I was in 93, 94, 95, I wanted that push so bad. And for me personally, I found out when I didn't get it till 96 and 97, I wasn't ready for it. And that was – you couldn't have convinced me of that before that. And not that you would have been ready for your horse, but for me personally, I found that – everything happens for a reason, even when it's wrong. And I use that saying now because I saw that movie, Crazy Heart Jeff Bridges, who is amazing. He won the Oscar for the role. And he sings a song in it. And when I was watching the movie, I go, I got to get that song. And it talks about, living on the other side of the tracks and knowing you should be on the other one. But the hook is you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Everything happens for a reason, even when it's wrong. And then he says, especially when it's wrong. So, it's called life. We all get hit with it, man. And just to let you know, a lot of people think that I'm unstoppable, and I am 90% of the time. When I hit that 10%, the only person who sees it is Angela. And I might not get out of bed. This last year was the first time that I actually said, screw it, I'm just going to lay in bed. And I did that for a total of 3 days over the last year and a half. And there were times where I hit that wall. And I said, I just don't feel like fighting against that wall today. And at some point, if you feel sorry for yourself, and you feel sorry for yourself, and you feel sorry for yourself, and then something's got to click. And this is what the 90% is to me. The 90% is to me focusing on what I have as opposed to what I have not. And for me personally, I think of that last bum I saw in Venice Beach, and they are everywhere. And I'm not talking about the guy who can go get a job. I'm talking about the guy or woman who you know can't go get a job. You know, thank God I'm not them. You know, and it's really funny. One of my best friends, Marlon Ranson, his son has this nymphatic thing with his liver doesn't process it doesn't process his protein properly all the time, so he has to take medication, and it's really powerful medication, especially for a little kid. So his body will swell up, and this kid is a warrior. He is so disciplined; it's insane. And Marlon had just split up with his wife, and he had his own place, and he had his kids with him, and it's a really nice area of Hollywood too, but there were so many homeless people there. So Marlon took it upon himself to say, you know what, kids, let's go interview a couple of these people. So they're not just bums we see on the street. They're actually people that we know, because they are people that we know. And the crazy part that Marlon said, after they had interviewed him and they asked him so many questions and they wrote all down the answers, three of the five that they interviewed said, being homeless isn't so bad. Which, take that mindset to anybody who's listening to this right now, if you were to think being homeless would be so bad. You talk about focusing on the positive of whatever, you know, I mean, like, whoa. But the next thing I think about is that kid that I might have just met that, you know, has cancer. She's 7. You know, or I just left the Intrepid Center. You know, and I look at that, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, and these guys are just trying to be as positive as they can be. You know, limbs blown away. And I think, oh, my God, how lucky am I? And that's, to me, what you have to focus on. But that's me, and I want to hear, you know, how did you turn it around, or have you not turned it around, Henry? Are you still hanging in?
I actually have turned it around, and you just mentioned that bums, and I got to mention, one of the things I did to get out of it is I actually printed out some adversity quotes, and they're really inspiring. One of them is by Confucius, who said, I was complaining that I had no shoes until I met the man who had no feet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
exactly what you just said right now, you know. And I told Doug about, you know, your pictures with the veterans. Like, I'm crying like a little baby over, you know, whatever. And these guys don't have limbs, and they're burned half to death. I mean, are you kidding me? It's, you know, so it's just little things I did, like printing out those quotes and looking at those pictures and, you know, kind of rebooting myself in a way, I guess, you know.
That's great that you did it, though, dude. That's powerful. I mean, I know when I first met you and we started talking on the phone back when there was no Team YRG, it was just like me and you, or me and Arthur, or me and Terry, you know,
right,
before I could pull you all together and let you see that, you know, everybody wants, that's what's so cool about Team YRG is that people actually really give a shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to be one of those guys that leads by example. I don't want to be the one who falls by the waist, you know, because now I'm maybe a little recognizable, and I post to a lot of people and send messages to people and try and help them. I want to be someone that they could say, you know, this guy's really an inspiration by his example, not by his words, you know. So I had to find a way to, you know, get out of the funk, you know.
Well, dude, I totally commend you. You know, you were supposed to be sitting in Yoga Doc's seat tonight because that's powerful. And being able to admit it, though, you know, it's just like me saying, I didn't get out of bed. There was actually one time where I stayed there I stayed in bed for a day and a half. It wasn't just like that. It was like the next morning I didn't get out of bed. I said, oh, screw it. And she's like, you're really not going to get out of bed? I said, no, I'm not. And I just rolled over and I said, you stupid pussy, what the hell are you doing? Get out of bed. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. So that was just me, and I'm glad to see how you did. So let's bring on our YRG, it's the first time on here, talking with us. He's been in all the seen him in the blog chats and stuff, and he's always out there. And yeah, you know, I love this guy. He's always out there welcoming people, and I know some of you will come on for a while, welcome, and then you get life catches up with you, and you don't, then you come back and do it, and it's great, you know, because you know what. Whenever you can get out there and welcome somebody in or whatever, make them feel that warmth, it's powerful, man, because the more you actually help other people, the more it comes back. And that is a karmic thing. You know, I always, you know, at the power plant, I always said, the more I taught the guys, the more I learned. The more I learned, the better I got. Same thing with life. That's why I love doing this show. Because this is an hour to an hour and a half. Today's a tape show, so it'll only be an hour show. But today is an inspirational moment for me too, and it keeps me saying this is gonna be huge. It's just a matter of time. So, Richard, how you doing today, brother?
Pretty well, pretty well. Thanks for having me on.
That's good to have you here. So, coming on here, and you know what we were talking about, and me and you went through this. You know, what's happening with your world? Where was that when we got together? Like, just give people a little, you know, history of yourself.
Well, I'll just start. I first heard about you. You did a call-in on John Boy and Billy, and this was about 2.5 years ago. And I was thinking, wow, you know, Diamond Dallas Page, you know, I remember him. You know, and I've been involved in exercise and coaching and you know, just around the edges of it for quite a while. And in my youth, I was a competitive swimmer. I was on ESPN a long time ago. You know, did triathlon through college. Was, you know, for the Army.
Did you really? Triathlons, huh?
That's well, I didn't compete. I trained them. I never actually competed in one. But, you know, I had good times individually. I just never put it all together.
Right.
I didn't have the desire to compete there. You know, the Army running and push-ups and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm fairly physically active. And then, you know, you start hitting late 20s and then 30s and then mid-30s. And all of a sudden you look up and one morning and you're you know, calling people for a sales job trying to figure out why you're getting winded reaching for the phone. And, and you know, I thought, you know, my arms are still pretty muscular, my chest looks okay, and then you get on the scale and you try to ignore that it just keeps spinning. And at my heaviest, I guess I weighed about 280. Went through a couple of different jobs and up and down, but when I finally discovered YRG, I was about 250. I'm just short of 5'11". So still, you know, very mobile, wasn't no other really massive physical conditions. You know, leg pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, the things you get when you're in your 40s. My brother and I ordered YRG, and I remember I first started doing it. I'd taken a family vacation down to Virginia Beach. I live up in D.C. area, and had the family, we stuck the CDs in. I guess I should have pre-screened them before I, you know, was working the YRG Classic with my kids, because, you know, a little more blue than the than the current version, but
right.
Yeah, they got into it a little bit, and so I kept working it and working it and working it. So I got down to about 230, and I just stagnated. And you know, I was still, I'm happy with, because I'm getting more push-ups in, I'm, you know, more fit, but the weight's just hovering there. And so by this time, the Team YRG site had started, and excuse me, we, you know, I was welcoming people and you know, trying to get people out and talking and befriending people and just being a general nuisance of myself, I guess. And then I get a, you know, I say, dude, what's your phone number? And then, you know, so I typed it back in, and 5 minutes later, and it's 10:30 at night, the phone rings. And I'm like, hello? Hey, what's going on, man? I saw you were online, so I figured I'd go ahead and call you. I'm like, you know, realize it's like almost 11 here, Dallas. He's like, yeah, you're up. Don't worry about it. So we, you know, we spoke for, I guess, probably about 45 minutes or an hour at that point. And you told me to forward my what I was eating, and you know, we talked about a lot of different things. And so I forwarded it to you, and I thought, you know, I'm not eating that bad. Well,
you rhetorically kicked my rear end and reminded me that that's not how I was supposed to be eating. And
not to hit the goal. Not to hit the goal.
Of course not. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You know, he's like, you know, and it was just simple little tweaky things. And it was nothing like I wasn't eating cake at every meal or anything like that. But I just was eating the wrong things at the wrong time, that kind of a deal. And so with your guidance and your support and working with folks online, I went from, at that point, 230 and I touched 200. And I remember halfway point of my ultimate goal is 217 pounds. And the week after I crossed that, I drove up to, is it Odenton, Arthur? Is that where you teach? I drove up there and did a class with Arthur, who, despite his nice guy image, is a sadistic son of a gun when he's leading the class.
I am just a harmless, lovable little fuzzball.
There's a reason your kids call you the vegan menace, okay? And then I got all the way down to 202. My ultimate goal is 185. And then something else clicked. And I started, I don't feel like working out today. You know, my knee hurts or I'm a little stiff today. And, you know, what's one more? How about if I get some fries with that or you know, something like that. So it drifted up, and I never made it back up to 250. No, nothing close like that. Been hovering between, you know, 210 to 220. And finally, and at one point I emailed or messaged several folks, you know, Terry and Dallas and Arthur and a couple other folks, you know, like, you know, I can't get my head right. And then everybody's like, you know, pat me on the back, Stacy, and Dallas once again, you know, yelled at me. And well, you use all caps and a lot of exclamation points sometimes. Still, you know, it finally, and I couldn't tell you exactly why, but for some about 2-3 weeks ago, finally I was like, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of feeling like this. I'm sick of going online, encouraging people, and, you know, through the anonymity of a keyboard and a computer monitor, you can be, you know, whoever you want to be. But,
yeah, right.
You know, I, for me personally, it just didn't have the weight because I wasn't, as you say, walking the walk.
Right.
I'm, you know, back online now. I mean, back on program now. And that's, I guess, the theme that Henry has is that emotional, what causes those triggers. And he had those good suggestions where he, you know, printing out the motivational sayings and all the other things he did. And two things I was thinking about when I was driving home after you and I had spoken earlier, two big things. One is routine or a system where, like, I have to be at work at 6 in the morning. So I'm up, I start my workouts at 4. If I don't get up at 4 and if I don't get my workout in and then have my, you know, my protein smoothie, it's a fight the rest of the day to stay on track. Because I've broken that routine.
Let me interject here. Just for my thing, I've got a couple friends of mine that I work out with, you know, and they don't work out as hard unless they work out with me, you know. And sometimes there could be two of them. Sometimes there could be seven of them in here. And I make sure I do that. Plus, I keep my class when I'm in town. But I make sure I do that at least 3 times a week. So I know I'm going to get at least 5 to 6 workouts in, because those, like this morning, I did not want to do it. But I'd already made that date, so they're coming over. So it's like that routine is pivotal, you know, and not breaking that routine or setting yourself up to win as opposed to setting yourself up to fail. So I got to tell you, my buddy Rich comes over here, and he's a warrior. And he walks in, he goes, so, is Sandy and them coming? I go, not today, dude, they can't. He goes, oh, God, this is going to be brutal. And I said to him, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't think it's going to be, man. My knees bother me today and had a really crazy dream. Now, listen to this dream, short version. Burt Reynolds, met him one time about 8 years ago at one of the Super Bowl parties, one of my heroes. And he had a salt and pepper rug on. He looked amazing. He's in this dream with two guys who were warriors. that wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. So I've got to try to convince them to do YRG. And this is coach involved, and this is like, it really frustrated the shit out of me. I mean, big time, you know. There's a reason why I never use the word yoga, especially with guys like that, you know, because then they get that stigma and you're done. So it was a really frustrating dream. I woke out of it, and I'm like, is this going to happen or is this not going to happen? It's like, screw this. Do your workout. You'll feel better. So I say to Rich, it's not going to be that hard. 5 minutes into it, we were doing exploding push-ups. We were doing some like crazy warrior shit. He looked at the end of the workout, and he goes, yeah, not going to be so hard. But it's creating that routine is pivotal. Is pivotal. So not to interrupt you, but I want to reinforce that to anybody listening. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. And that goes back to something else you interject, ties in with having a support group, you know, having someone to call or having someone to talk to or to discourse with in whatever means you're able to. My family is really supportive. I mean, they're 100% supportive, but they're not doing it with me. So, I mean, there's just a qualitative difference there.
Yeah.
Whereas somebody who's not going through it at the same time. I mean, love my kids, love my wife, and they're like, go for it, Daddy, go for it, Daddy. I'm like, well, come on with me. And they're like, go for it, Daddy, go for it, Daddy. this process of setting goals and actually reinforcing the goals. Setting goals is easy, actually. I mean, it's easy to sit down and even write them out.
For you, for you, a lot of people it's not, though. So that part comes to you easy. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to be presumptuous.
No. But I'm saying some people can't even, they don't even take the time. So, that gives you a step up because at least you can write them down. A lot of people are afraid to. Think about that. So go ahead.
Yeah, I actually hadn't considered that. I'm mulling it over right now. well, okay, for me it was easy to write down goals. I've coached swimming, I've coached football. I would never let my swimmers or ball players give me the excuses that I give myself. And I force them to create team goals before
Great.
The season. It's 'cause I've coached football lately, not swimming. And if they don't do that, there's no focus. I've coached with guys, dads who want to be helpful, who don't know what they're doing. There's no focus. I mean, they think they know what they want. They don't because they're not listening to the kids. They're coaching football. They're not coaching kids. They're not working with kids. Unless you have the kids take ownership of their team goals, I mean, you may get a great season out of them, but unless they own it, unless they take ownership of the team, they're the team. I can't go on the field and play for them. I can't do it. I'm not going to go on the football field anymore. They're not going to be as good as they can at football or school or life or anything else that's subsequent. The same thing happens individually. Unless you take ownership of that, set those goals, get the support group, internalize all that, you can go through the motions. I mean, myself and there's several other cases of folks who have lost a massive amount of weight and then they come back a little bit later very sheepishly saying, this happened or that happened. One of the things that truly motivates me, I sit and really think about it, that motivates the heck out of me, and I'm not just pandering here, is when Arthur was in a wheelchair and weighed 300 pounds, he had more energy and more life focus than I've ever had in my life. I mean, it just astounds me that he worked the hours he worked, put in the time, and I've worked with some troubled kids, not like him. I know how draining that can be, just how all-consuming that can be. And he did it, and he couldn't move. And I that just boggles my mind when I think about that. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, so your hip hurts a little bit, you wolf. You know, get up and do something.
Right.
You know, don't eat that, you know. I mean, it's really inspiring to meet folks like Arthur or to talk to Henry or intercourse with Henry. I got a question for him later. I'll ask him offline, perhaps.
No, ask him here.
and or as Arthur once said about you, you know, he's never met somebody who's as comfortable in his own skin as you are. You forget when you're dealing with folks who have had success and who have reached a certain area that life happens to them too. I mean, you know, if you hadn't told me you sat in bed for a day and a half and just feeling sorry for yourself, I'd have said, ah, Dallas, you know, heck with him. You know, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Well, yeah, you know what? He's on Earth, right? He does. We all do.
Good point. Good point. So I want to open this up, Richard, but now, just to button this up, and then we'll get into discussion because we've got a good group, great group of people here. Where are you right now?
I am in the process. I've set a goal. My son's birthday is August 20th. I want to be below 200 by then. About 215. I didn't weigh myself last few days, so I'm guessing I'm about 215 at the moment. Working out, getting up, unless I actually have scheduled a day off, because I do know my body well enough to know that every day just doesn't. I can't.
No, you can't.
I'm a fairly physical job. So unless I schedule a day off, I don't take the day off. I'm eating well. So I'm in that process of doing the goal achievement. I'm also really working hard on changing my self-image and seeing myself not as doing something but being. And that's where I'm really trying to make the improvement.
No, I think that's great. And I think that so much of this has to do with writing blogs and seeing yourself and putting it out there and letting people know and just commenting on the people's blogs, because you can see yourself through that and it can help you to, you know, God, I don't have it so bad. Look at this right here. This blog. I'm going to stop feeling so sorry for myself, because that's really what kicks into all of us. Feeling so sorry for yourself, whether it's a horse that you waited all this time to get. And, you know, you're still a young man, Henry. You know, eventually you're going to get that horse. If you really want that horse, you're going to get that horse. It's going to run. It might break its leg in the first round, but, you know.
Well, it's funny you mention it, Dallas, because I actually, you know, at the time that I got it, I actually am part owner of two horses, and my colt is going to be qualifying this coming Monday at Chester Downs in Pennsylvania. So he's my last shot, but I got another one going on Monday, so I'm not dead yet with that.
There you go. Good one, Rich. That's what I'm talking about. Now, we also on the show here, I know we've got Doug. We've got Arthur. Did Stacy come on, Robert?
Yeah, hi.
All right.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
You know, I want to just bring something out of Stacy. You know, wonder what let her have anything to say. If not, we can just throw it into a discussion and just everybody like. So I want people just to feed in like we're just like just happened just right there. So because that's really what I want these roundtables to be like. You got anything going today, Stace, or just
well,
to like?
Yeah, I'll talk about what happened this afternoon when you called me to be on the show. You actually caught me, you know, in the middle of a moment, but I didn't let you know because that's one of my things is that I don't like showing my vulnerability to people. And I let it go and I said, great, I'll do the show. And then you called back and to tell me something else and I still didn't say anything. And I thought, you know, that's kind of a sign. So, you know, you're meant to discuss this with him. So I called you back and basically it's just something that I just was hit with this wall of emotion and grief, and it's exactly what you guys have been talking about. You know, everyone gets hit by this, and it's just part of life. And I guess the only way for me to deal with it is just feel it, and I can feel it pretty easily now because I'm you know, so to speak, sober. I'm not drugged up with you know, junk food, and I feel things pretty easily. But anyway, I'm kind of avoiding telling you what it is.
Take a breath.
All right.
Well, deep breath.
Okay, so the past 15 months have been really amazing and really joyful for me, and all these wonderful changes. And, you know, part of what makes it wonderful is being able to share it with people close to me. But I have my dad has been in a nursing home for the past 7 years. He's got Alzheimer's, and it's, you know, it's sometimes it's very emotional because it's like most of him is gone. And when I go to see him, he knows who I am, but a lot of him is not there. And the thing that really makes it hard for me is that he and I have, since I was like 8 years old, we've struggled this path together with weight, with, you know, dieting, with binging, with gaining it back and forth. And of all the people in my life, I think I really would love to have him, you know, share this with me. And it just hit me today. Like I've known for a long time that he can't process it, but I don't know. It was like a wave, and all I can do is just like be present and be aware and like you said, breathe. But it, you know, so much of it's out of my control. So it's frustrating. It's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing that could happen to someone, but you know, right now it just feels painful. So that's my challenge for right now.
Well, I'll tell you already, because what happened was I was, you know, calling Terry up, and I was in a discussion with her, and I could tell when Stacy said, "Can I talk to you?" And I could tell that it was really bothersome. So I said, "Terry, I'll call you right back." And when I got back on the phone with her, we had to have you breathing. It's like the first time we talked, you know, when we were talking about your weight issue. And what scares us takes our breath away. And if there's one thing that I've learned over this last 54 years of my life, the most important thing I've learned over this last 10 years is the power of breath and breathing, and how breathing literally controls everything, how we feel, our emotions, how we control ourselves, what we take control of in ourselves. And I got you to breathe, and we talked about it, and I could tell you still couldn't really talk about it. But you just came on here and talked to you. You were like, "I'm afraid I'll break up," and you were breaking up right then. But you just did, so you must see that as some sort of at least hurdle.
Did I talk about it?
That you could talk about it. Yeah. You're not just talking to me right now.
Right.
Dallas, on that note, I'd like to add something.
Yes, please.
I just want Stacy to know that I actually work in a long-term care facility as a social worker, and I take care of many residents with Alzheimer's, dementia. So I completely understand where she is coming from, and anytime you want to write me or call, you're having issues, you're talking to the right person. That's all I'm going to tell you. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Oh, God, thank you.
See, you never would have known that if we just would have talked about, you never would have known that.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
That's my point. Like, when I didn't want to tell you, that's my old pattern. Like, my old pattern is to not show that I'm hurt or that I'm feeling something. And I'm a woman. I mean, women are more in touch with their feelings, and I try to push it down a lot of the time. So it's something that I'm working on. So here
hey,
I
Stacy.
Am working on it.
Hey, Stacy.
Yeah?
Hey, it's Richard.
Hi,
do you
Richard.
Find that you have trouble asking for help?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
You know, not I'm better now than I used to be, but I think it's maybe it's a cultural thing. When somebody asks how you are, you just it's like a knee jerk. I'm good. I'm fine. You know, and yeah, I sometimes look at it as a weakness to ask for help.
Yeah, because I experienced that as well, and that's why I've never called Dallas myself for help, because I don't know if it's because I think that I'm terribly self-sufficient, because I don't think that I am. I just, it's, for me, it's more like I just don't want to bug him. He's got, you know, he's got a business, he's got clients, he's got a lot of other people, you know, working, you know, depending on, but then I don't ask my wife for help either, and she's, you know, sitting right next to me most of the time. So I don't have another point. I'm just wondering about that.
Well, you know, I think that if everybody here is listening, and it isn't just our group of, you know, members that we have right here. It's people who listen on the radio, and there's people who, you know, who just listen to this show and don't go on, because, you know, normally when we got, you know, people on the chat room, you know, we might have 20, 25, 30 people on that room, and the rest of people just listen, and they'll take a little piece of it, but they're never going to really be able to listen as much until they actually get involved, because they're, you know, like I said, this is the first place I've ever been where people really give a shit. You know, like Facebook and MySpace and this and that. There's so many of them today. You know, this is the only one I know of that people really do care, and the people who come in, and a lot of people don't care about themselves. There's a reason why I always say I don't treat people the way they want to be treated, because a lot of people treat themselves like shit. A lot of people have a very low opinion of themselves. Many people don't love themselves. And I'm going to actually save that conversation for next week on loving themselves for Ahmed. You guys know Ahmed. He's been around. He's for the site a little bit now. And he wrote me an email that I was actually going to read during this thing, but I figured I'm going to wait, because this show is airing on the 29th. We've already pre-taped this show. And he talked about loving themselves and finding that that has so much to do with how you treat yourself, how much respect you have for yourself. And that's something we'll get into next week about loving themselves. And we'll throw something else in there, too. But that'll definitely be a big part of next week's show.
Can I add something on that, DDP?
Absolutely.
I just want to add, on that note, that is absolutely huge, because I grew up you know, in my life, my dad was like a rock star to me. He, you know, it was always a problem with me, always feeling I could never measure up to him. He was a guy, you know, 6'4", 250, a total butt kicker. He played for the University of Alabama. Bart Starr was his roommate. He was,
no kid.
He was a U.S. Army man, a paratrooper. I mean, to me, no matter what I did, it would never measure up to what he did. But he ended up dying at 69, and instead of always feeling I wasn't good enough for him or didn't ever measured up to what he did, you know, here he is. He died because he didn't take care of himself at 69. And, you know, in this way, by being in this YRG lifestyle, I plan on more than outliving him. And in that way, I will be better than him. You know, so maybe in some ways I can't, but I completely understand that feeling of, you know, geez, no matter what I'm doing, it's never going to be good enough. That is huge, and I'm glad you're having that topic.
Well, that'll be next week. So, Arthur, what are you feeling? You've been very quiet over this period.
I was just listening to what everybody's saying. Yeah. I don't have a whole lot going on right now. It's summer. I'm a school teacher, therefore I'm on, you know, kind of on my break. I was just listening to what people say. People don't ask for help a lot of times. I see that, you know, in school with my students sometimes, you know, how you doing? I'm fine. You need help? And I'm, you know, I'm there to help. And a lot of times people don't want it. Kids don't want it. You know, for that matter, a lot of times the teachers that I'm working with, you know, it's like, I can handle it. And there's this illusion that we have that we're in control. And we're really not. You know what I mean? I mean, everything happens. You could have the most wonderful lesson in the world going, and all of a sudden there's a fire alarm, or something happens, or a kid's having a problem, or you've got this wonderful thing planned, and a kid comes in, and his entire family is melting down around him, and he just left a huge argument at home, and he wants nothing to do with anything you've got to do. And, you know, we have this illusion that we have control, and we're afraid to give it up. And the funny thing is, control doesn't really exist.
So except within yourself. You know,
exactly. I can't control what's going on outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
All I can do is control how I'm going to react.
There you go.
This idea that I'm not going to ask anybody else for help is because I don't want to give up my control of the world around me. And the reality is, you don't have control of the world around you.
Right. Exactly.
It's an illusion. Hope I didn't get too deep there.
No, I think that's exactly. I mean, in living life at 90%, I talk about it in our personal lives, in our professional lives, we're constantly hit with one adversity after another, most of which we have no control over. But we do control how we react, how we adapt, how we take action, but most importantly, how we breathe. That will help you control everything. And it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not poof. You know what? I'm going to control that. No, you're not. Not unless you work at it. Like right now, I'm practicing, and Arthur may be the only one besides Doug Steffen, because he was there, know what this means. But are you familiar with Uddiyata Bandha, Arthur?
Yes.
Of course you are. For everyone else listening, Uddiyata Bandha is a yoga term for this breath that the Indian people in India can do, where they literally can roll their stomachs. Can you explain a little bit better, Arthur? Because I'm sure you're
aware. How to put it? You got the six pack in the middle, and there are two different ways to do it. One is to squeeze the obliques in while you're pushing that one out, and what it does, it makes you look like you've got just an iron bar for a stomach, and the other parts go back. And then the other way is to suck the bottom of it in, push the top on it, and then kind of roll it up and down.
That's crazy.
And it all goes from the diaphragm. See, there's no muscle that counters the diaphragm. You know, it's an unpaired muscle.
And this is when you talk about discipline, and I'm making myself do it. My goal is 3 days a week. Some days I've hit four. Some days I've only hit two. So I haven't hit it every week. But this week I'm on track to hit minimum of three, maybe four times to practice it. And it's really a muscle within 2 weeks I started to get more and more control over. But if I don't do it all the time, I'm never going to get any farther than this. It's sort of like playing the guitar. If you don't play, if you play once in a while, you might learn a song or two, but you're never really going to be any good. Just like wrestling. If you don't wrestle all the time, you don't really get any good. But if you play guitar all the time, or you wrestle all the time, or you practice your breathing all the time, you can get really good. It's like everything we talk about. You got to put the work in. Work ethic equals results. What's your feelings on this, Mr. Steffen?
Well, I think, hey, how's everybody doing tonight?
Howdy.
Hey,
fine.
Hey.
Yeah, I wanted to say, I think people just don't want to be vulnerable. That's why they don't ask for help. You know, I mean, especially a guy, you know, guys like the machismo, you know, I can't ask for help because I can do it myself. And that's what I think happens a lot with everybody. You just don't want to show the vulnerability in yourself.
Well,
you know,
Arthur was talking about, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Arthur was talking about control. One of the things I do is I study stock trading, not like the long-termer stuff that Henry's into, but more short-term, not day trading, but those guys are really good. I'm not that good yet. But one of the things I've had to learn, and every trader goes through this, is if you make a bad trade, get out now. Just have your line of, you know, no return, and once, if it goes against you, hits across that line, leave, because the stock doesn't care if you want it to go the other way or not. You can't coach it up. You can't talk it into. You can't explain. You can't rationalize. You can't reason with it. You have no control over whatever that is going to go. You may statistically, based on chart patterns and oscillators and other things, figure it's going to go that way. And, you know, maybe it's a 66% probability. And if it goes that way, fine. You're going to make money. If it doesn't, you're going to lose money. And only you control how much money you're going to lose by, if you're disciplined, when it crosses that line, you leave. And that is, for me, been the hardest thing to getting over the need to be right. Because being right, it just doesn't happen. You're going to be wrong 3 out of 5 times. Even the best traders are wrong 3 out of 5 times. And until you realize that, come to grips with it, and discipline yourself to get out when you're supposed to, you will lose money. And that goes back to control. It's something that you just have to, like you say, adapt, take action, breathe.
Right. Now, one of the things, and some of you have noticed that I've said this to you one time or another, when someone goes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know, you're right. And I go, no, I'm not right. Do you understand? Because people have a problem with, even if they're saying, I know you're right, of going the other way, and it may be a rebel thing from when you were a kid. And I'm not a psychologist, you know, but I'm a psychologist to me on, you know, life, you know, and like there's that part of that rebel side where I know some people, no matter what you say, and they can say you're right, they're going to go the other way because they don't want to believe you're right or whatever. It's different for them. To me, with, when you're working with anybody, getting them to say, I understand, it sort of changes that. And which makes reference to what you said there about the stocks. You can't control it, and you got to know whether to get out or get in, or, you know, what are you willing to lose? Because the minute I've gotten out, and then boom, it goes right back up. And then I bought it high, and it came back down. So, you know, it's what you have to understand, and this is one thing I do understand when I do it, I'm gambling. You know, I'm gambling. And you got to realize every time you gamble on something, your odds of losing are pretty good. You know, they're at least 50-50, you know, win or lose. So our topic today has been all about emotions and how to emotional gravity and pulling yourself down. And I think, you know, we've got a pretty heartfelt, you know, tone here tonight. Stacey, let me ask you, you know, now that you've actually put that out there and stuff, you know, what's rolling through your head right now?
Relief.
Interesting.
I feel relieved that I got it out. And, you know, it still comes and goes. Like, while you guys were talking, I just, you know, feelings just kind of well up, and that's just how it is for me. And the main thing for me is just to not try to, you know, suppress them.
And I think that's huge.
Through it.
That's huge. You know, like I have a friend of mine who's this couple, and, you know, they just split up, and they had that one fight at the end, and they split up after 20-something years. And he told me they never had a fight the entire time. Like, they've never had, like, a yelling, screaming fight during their entire marriage till the end. And that's not good. You know, you got to blow off steam. You got to say what's on your mind. And that's why I try to create a safe environment here. And I pretty much start with leading. I don't ever judge anybody, you know, because that's not my job. And that comes from coming from a broken family. And, you know, when I was at my mother's side of the family, everybody burying my dad. And I was on my dad's side of the family, everybody burying my mom. And I just thought to myself, none of you are going to tell me how to feel. You know, and they were both kids. My mom was 17 years old when she had me. You know, she had three kids by the time she was 19 and divorced and was divorced. You know, so, I mean, she was a kid. So, you know, you can't make judgments, and that's why I try to make this place a safe environment so you can talk. And that's one of the reasons why Stacey told that story today, because, you know, no, you tell it, Stacey. Why did you bring that up? The people on the site you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, because there's this, I think this idea that just because somebody has conquered, you know, weight, and I've lost 156 pounds, that's a new total.
That's tremendous.
There's this perception which is false, that everything's fine and you don't have any, like you've really conquered everything. But, you know, life is just a series of challenges, and that doesn't end. And I wanted people to know that, because so they don't get set up, you know, like if the next person who loses 100 pounds thinks, okay, I should have no problems now, you know, and that's just not the case. It's like we all have challenges, and it's how you deal with them. Doesn't matter what your weight is.
Absolutely.
It's nothing to be afraid of, you know? That's life.
Wasn't dead air. I was just waiting to see if anybody would throw something in there.
It's going to sound totally dumb, but it reminds me a little bit, what you're saying reminds me a little bit about my cats. Because, you know, they come up and they kind of abuse you. I think it's part of their job description.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was all fat and heavy and everything, they would come up and abuse me. But now that I've lost all this weight, they still come up and abuse me. And it's like, You know, I look at Twinkies sitting there right in front of me on my notebook, on my keyboard.
You say Twinkie?
Twinkie.
Okay.
And he's sitting there right in front of me on my keyboard, on everything, and you reach down and try to pet him, and he bites you. And he doesn't care that I've lost the weight. And it's kind of a good thing because it keeps me, you know, I like him because he keeps me in my place.
That's excellent, man. That's excellent. Okay, I'm going to wind this down here because it's only an hour show because we are taped. We're back to an hour and a half the following week. And I want to let you know who's going to be on the August 5th show and be one of our guest hosts, and that will be Mr. RVD, Rob Van Dam, the TNA world champion, will be on the show. I don't know if he'll spend a half an hour with us. He'll spend at least a half an hour with us, maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. Very, very cool cat. You know, I got to know him when we were wrestling together. Not that well, but he's the inspiration for me on how I ever ended up actually saying, okay, I'll go try the yoga. And it was really because Rob Van Dam was the most flexible cat that I knew.
See that guy who does the Russian split?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yep. Yep. And he's been wrestling. The first time I saw him was, I guess it was 1990. He was working an independent show. Maybe it was 93. I can't remember what it was. I think he was like 93. And we were both I wasn't working that show, but I was there to get booked on something else. But I saw him jumping off the top rope, spinning around, flying through the air, and he hit the guy in the guardrail, you know. And I thought, oh, my God, how can he do that? You know, some of the crazy moves that some of those guys can do. And he's in the top echelon of the Rey Mysterios and, you know, Jeff Hardys who do all the crazy stuff. But Rey doesn't really stretch out, and either does Jeff. But Rob does, and that's why he's going to be 40 now. He's, you know, he can still go out there and tear it down and do some. He doesn't have to do all the crazy stuff he did when he was younger, but he still can pull it out there when he needs to. And we actually went down. You guys have heard Brian Keenan, Officer X, come on the show before on the YRG radio, and he was in town, and we all went down Sunday, just would have been 2 weeks ago now, down to L.A. Boxing Gym. And we did YRG with myself, Brian, RVD, and Justin McCulley, who's his nameplate is his nickname is the Insane One. He's a badass UFC fighter and a great, great guy. And we went through the workout. His brother came, who owned L.A. Boxing, the gym, and with a couple of super wave riders, the guys who ride the 30, you know, 25, 30, 30 foot, 40 foot waves. So I've got this eclectic group of warriors doing YRG with me that I took like to the, you know, YRG crazy wacko warriors, you know, level. And they held up. A couple of them went to safety zone, you know, at times. But it was a warrior workout. And I'll have footage of that that'll be coming up around this time. Actually, McCulley actually got in there and he actually did a side mount on Brian as an example, you know, for you people who watch UFC. And he explained how YRG is amazing training for MMA fighters because when they're on the ground, they're engaging every muscle in their body, especially when they're trying to move around, grabbing a guy and moving to a side mount position. So he was showing with his arm wrapped around Brian's head and his other arm wrapped around his arm, and his legs were spread straight out and sort of like in a V formation, but he was on his toes, engaging his toes, his feet, his ankles, his calves, his quads, his thigh, his adductors, his entire core, plus his whole upper body, while he's trying to move an immovable object that doesn't want to be moved that way. So everything, I mean, you talk about dynamic resistance, you've got to be engaging it all in that position. And he went on a rant about it, and I was like, wow, couldn't have paid him to say this. So that footage will be up there. I'm going to try to get it up right before before Rob comes on. Then I'm going to have Justin come on and be – which I, once a month I'm going to bring in let's call it celebrity, you know, from a different – you know, whether it's entertainment or wrestling or UFC or whatever, and just to give – they'll have a skew on what YRG is all about, what we're trying to do here. But I also want to give something back to you guys, too, that brings you in. You can actually talk to these guys, you know, and ask them what they think. And it can be from wrestling questions to fitness to inspiration, because Rob Van Dam told his story, and I'm not going to tell it. I'll just give you the very cliff notes of how he – got into wrestling and how it happened and what his mindset was and how it was suggested to him. And we were interviewing like each other and it was a really, really cool story. And I'll probably put that part of it up after his time here on Team YRG so that people can get to see what we were talking about. He'll probably have a different slant on it. So that's going to be the show. I want to thank everybody for coming on here, and I believe, let me see if I got everybody. I got Richard, Doug, Stacy, Henry, Arthur, and I get anybody else? Robert. Is that everybody? I want to thank all you guys for coming. You've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, but see ya! Bang!
Come on, everybody.
Nice.
You love me! You hate me! You'll never forget me! Get ready to feel the... Yo, high five!